Another interesting thing that I just noticed
An interesting thing.
was, okay, so we use Skype when we're recording this podcast, and I've noticed this before, but not really paid attention to it, so I didn't know the details of it. But when you start a call on iChat, or now it's called Messages, or Skype, it automatically pauses iTunes.
Oh, wow.
Right? So that's something that is pretty obvious. If you've ever done it, you'd see that right away. But I look at the way Skype does it, and when you start a call in Skype, if you watch iTunes, the volume slider in iTunes goes down to zero as your call starts, and then immediately jumps back to whatever volume you had it set at. And then when you end a call with Skype, which is why I called you many, many times when you were offline, because it would automatically end it right away, it mutes it to zero and then slides it back up slowly to the place where it is. It was interesting to me because that's exactly how I would do this if I had like a physical board, a physical soundboard in front of me. And I kind of was like wanted to be assured that everything would sound good in the transitions, but also be immediately accessible. So if I had a physical soundboard and I needed to mute something, I would slide it down, hit the mute button, which then mutes that channel, and then bring the fader, which is the same as a slider, slide it back up to whatever volume I had it set at. And then if I need immediate access to that volume level, I could hit the mute button and bring it back. Or if I wanted like a nice transition, I could bring it to zero, hit the mute button, slide it back up. That was really interesting to me that Skype was able to do that,
Yeah,
because
that's pretty.
we both hate Skype. Everyone hates
Yeah,
Skype
we've been
to a
bashing it
certain
pretty hard
extent.
actually lately.
That's one thing that is really, really silly because it seems like a lot of extra steps, but that's the only way they can do it nicely.
It's
It's
getting
nice.
better.
It's getting better. That's a
It's
segment
getting
there.
better.
We have some exciting news.
Except, do we? Do we? Ooh.
Yeah, so Verbmill is this network that we started, kind of you and I and Owen, my brother, and his acquaintance Adam Heinzen. Owen and Adam host this podcast called Dwell On, and it was recently featured in iTunes, which got them a lot of, yeah, very, very surprising.
Incredible.
Or maybe not surprising because they're pretty great,
It doesn't surprise me.
it was exciting, very exciting. That's a better word, exciting. So they host this podcast about homes and house design, and it got featured and they got a lot of downloads for it, and it was really, really exciting.
Hey,
And kind you
what
know
the
that was
heck?
one of our we have a lot of metrics of success, a lot of points where we'll say we have been successful, and that was one of them, and it was exciting to happen so early in the network.
I'm just gonna throw it out there, and I don't mean to kill the excitement, but what the heck are we doing? We gotta get on there. We gotta get featured.
Oh ho.
Positive competition.
I'm gonna cut this part out of the episode, but I'm just gonna hide behind the fact that we haven't been featured because we're in a much more competitive category.
Ooh,
We consider
yes, yes,
we
yes,
call
yes.
this tech and tech news and design, which is much more competitive on iTunes. And also, we mark this show as explicit because we're not afraid to say the fuck word.
Ah, yes, 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 yes,
And
yes,
since
yes.
we're not afraid to say the fuck word, we mark it as explicit, which means it's much less likely to be featured.
That's true.
And that is why.
Because deep down, we're really a better show.
Yeah, I don't know about that,
Yeah,
but it was really exciting. It was great to
that's
see,
awesome.
and we're very proud of them.
I don't ever go on like iTunes, so because I just like get their podcast as it comes to me in my
Like,
iTunes,
there's no reason, once you have it, there's no reason to go to the store except to leave good reviews because that helps new people find it and makes it more likely to be featured.
That's true.
Ba ba
But
ba ba ba.
I left a good review right as I downloaded it and listened to my first episode.
Yeah.
So
So, go ahead.
there's some big tragic news going on right now. Some terrible things in the world. And I'm not talking about Hurricane Sandy.
Okay, which is maybe a little tragic, but go on.
It's very tragic. I'm actually super sorry for all those who were affected. Hope you're doing all right. But on also another level of tragedy, Lucasfilms was just bought by none other than Disney.
Is that a tragedy?
I would you know what? I'm not and you and I'm gonna get backlash from this from all across the board. But Disney is great at what Disney does. But there's a
Okay.
reason that George Lucas didn't have Disney make those first three movies.
Yeah.
And Disney would have not touched those movies. They would have never done anything that good.
In the 60s and 70s, Disney had made no films without animating them, right? They were all animated films.
That's true, but I'm saying even today, I'm saying today, Disney would not touch a movie that good.
And Disney would not touch a movie that good?
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't make movies that good.
Are you kidding me?
Name a Disney movie that's as good as Star Wars.
All right. Okay, I will name several Disney movies that are far, far better than episodes 1 through 3, as well as Kingdom Skull, as well as the third Indiana Jones movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
But so, I'm talking the original trilogy.
The original trilogy. You don't think Disney can make a movie as good as that?
Dude, I'm sorry.
No.
Disney had like this high point like 3 or 4 years ago, and the last couple of years have just kind of been like...
3 or 4 years ago was not Disney's high point.
Well,
Disney's high point came a very long time ago.
Where are you saying their high point for real life filmmaking, not animation?
Wait, oh, okay. If we ignore animation, then you're probably right.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm talking like the movies animation. That Star Wars are going to be. Real life, real people.
No, Star Wars is like 99% animation.
Yes, it is. But
which is too bad.
Those types
and
of
one
movies.
Of the reasons the new trilogy is not as good as the original trilogy.
Exactly.
Continue.
Also, Disney has this thing where they like to kick the shit out of everything they can get money out of.
No.
Oh,
no,
they
you're
don't?
Wrong about this. You're
oh,
wrong
why don't you
this.
Go watch like Shrek 9 and tell me that's
okay.
not true? Why don't you tell me?
Shrek,
go
Shrek
watch
nine.
The
okay,
Lion
this Tom,
King.
This Tom,
go watch the
this
Lion
Tom
King
is
2.5.
Prove that I am.
Go watch The Lion King 2.5.
Shrek is in no way related to Disney. That's DreamWorks. That's a DreamWorks thing, not Disney. You're thinking, I mean, so okay, your Lion King 2.5 and so on.
Yeah.
All of those half and crappy straight to TV or straight to VHS sequel movies are very bad. I'll give you that. But recently Disney was, well, technically Disney bought Pixar, but
yeah.
Really what happened was Pixar acquired Disney because Pixar was worth more in the trade and has made better art. So in every real artist's mind, Pixar was the group that took over Disney. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to make crappy sequels anymore, because Cars 2 definitely came out.
Yep.
But one of the things that the late and great Steve Jobs said was that they were going to stop making, because he essentially became the majority shareholder of Disney and became in charge of what would happen. He said they would stop making the crappy straight-to-VHS, and he didn't say straight-to-VHS because this was long after VHS was dead, thankfully. He said they would stop making those, and to a large extent, they have stopped making those crappy, really obvious, money-grabbing sequels.
That's
John
true.
Lasseter, who was in charge of the creative direction of Pixar, is now in charge of the creative direction of Disney, which is excellent because Pixar has had very good creative direction since their inception. Interestingly enough, if you are not already aware of this, listeners, Pixar is actually an offshoot of Lucasfilm.
Yep.
Steve Jobs, after he left or was kicked out of Apple in the 80s, purchased this kind of computer technology video movie producing studio from Lucas because it was the stuff they used to do the special effects in Star Wars and was way too expensive for any other movie that they were going to produce. So he bought it, and then they started making completely computer-created movies.
Okay, I guess what I'm gonna say, is in the multiple releases of this news story that I heard, Disney has been quoted saying that Episode 7 is to be released in 2015.
Say it right. Okay,
and they are supposed to, after that, release a Star Wars movie every 2 years.
Yeah, it's gonna be awful.
That's gonna be horrendous. And the fact of the matter is, like, George Lucas has the other three written. He has 7, 8, 9 written.
Does he?
That's rumor. That's word on the street.
Okay. Word on the street.
Yeah. That's word
on the Star Wars street.
But, like, where do you go? I mean, like, I made a joke on Facebook or Twitter or something today that what's essentially gonna happen is they'll make a spin-off And I'm pretty sure that at some point my kids will be telling me that they're going to go to the new Jar Wars movie, a entirely new trilogy solely based around Jar Jar Binks and whatever drugs he did in the 90s to make him unable to speak like any other creature.
So this does not necessarily bode well. However, if Lucas has proved one thing, it's that he's not able to make a new trilogy with the constraints that he has now. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 are all bad. They're very bad movies.
Let it die.
Not necessarily die, but stop making new adding ones. To it. Stop trying to cash your money out of it. But if they're going to make new movies, and whether or not Lucasfilm was sold to Disney, I assume they would make more Star Wars movies. If they're going to make new ones, why not put someone else in charge? So that's my silver lining in this, is that I'm pretty sure George Lucas would have made episodes 7, 8, and 9 because he said he would in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that he would make them, or that someone would make them, and thank God it's not Lucas. They might be very terrible. They're probably going to be bad. We should go into it with very low expectations and expect it to be kind of a childish movie for children. Whereas Pixar has made some fantastic movies for children that are not childish.
Yeah.
We should expect bad things.
We should. Yeah. And I'm just saying that's a tragedy. Is it
a tragedy?
It is. Because
does it ruin the original art?
In a way, yes.
Can we just, I mean...
Think about, like, really good artists that, like, late in their career, they pumped out, like, a bunch of bad crap.
I can't really think of any offhand that did that.
Yeah, because they're not great artists when they do that. They get forgotten about.
I mean... I can't really think of artists who made a lot of work, but only the beginning of their career was successful, and that's the only important part. And if we can find some, I don't think that makes the beginning of their career worse necessarily. I'm willing to entertain the idea that by adding more and more to this story, it's going to water down the story and make it less interesting and make it less artistic and make it less beautiful.
I guess there's certain things about stories for me that there's like, you know, as soon as you learn things about, you know, like I still, it's hard for me to watch the original ones and see Darth Vader the same way I did before I saw him as this, like, whiny little, like, preteen, what they did in episode 2 with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm worried that, like, they're going to keep doing this to all the other characters, and they'll, like, make a story about, like, Han Solo being a little, like, prepubescent girl, and I won't be able to look Han Solo the same.
No, because Han Solo, like, if episode 7 comes chronologically after episode 6, Han Solo did not live for very long after episode 6, right?
No, I'm talking episode 12, when they're like, we can't go forward, let's go backwards again, and let's talk about Han Solo with episode 2.7.
There are some great pieces of Star Wars fiction that are not set in the same time as the movies. And in fact, I would say these are some of the best role-playing video games that have been made, even for all of their faults, which every role-playing video game has. But the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic games did a fantastic job of creating a story inside of the Star Wars universe without destroying the existing content. There's a lot of argument about what is canon and not canon. And if you're listening to this show and you don't understand that, canon is more or less like what is approved to be the actual story. And then non-canon things are like extra story elements that aren't technically true inside of the universe, which allows sci-fi writers to write these really long, expansive stories and say like, no, 90% of that's not canon. So then they can break, or they can create loopholes, or they can break existing plot points.
I mean,
Knights of the Old Republic is a video game that takes place thousands of years before Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. And it has Jedi in it. It has droids in it. It doesn't necessarily make sense that there wouldn't be a lot of technological improvement in between Knights of the Old Republic and the movies, but they can do lots of things like have a Jedi Academy that's not on, or that's on Dantooine instead of Coruscant. And they can have ships that are kind of reminiscent of the ships in the movies, but aren't the same ships.
Yeah.
And then they don't ruin the story.
Well, I guess...
Star Wars Episode 7, which will probably come out in 2015, could be set 1,000 years after Episode 6. Maybe it'll be great, because it'll just be set in the same sort of world with lightsabers and Jedi, but not, you know, Luke Skywalker starting this academy on Yavin 4.
Yeah. Wait till Harrison Ford walks on in the opening scene.
Yeah, okay, so that's probably what's going to happen.
It probably is.
They're going to find some... Well, no, it's maybe not Harrison Ford. They're going to find some cheap way to make it a direct descendant of Episode 6, and it's not going to be very good, and it's going to ruin all of our expectations.
Yeah. Like, I guess, like, on a small scale, this, like, idea is, like, one of the biggest blunders J.K. Rowling ever did with her books is shortly after the seventh book was released, there were all these fans, like, after all stories like this, who were, like, writing these, you know, fan fiction things and talking about the characters' lives and blah, blah, blah. And J.K. Rowling came forward and said that Dumbledore was gay.
Okay.
Which I'm not saying...
What's wrong with that?
No, I'm not saying there's any problem with him being a gay teacher.
No. But what's wrong with him saying...
The issue I had with her saying
it's wrong that a character is gay.
Is that automatically I thought, well, what gender is Professor McGonagall? What gender or what orientation is McGonagall. Snape? What orientation is all the professors? And why do they live alone? And where are their spouses? And there are all these questions about the book that she did such a good job in writing that it was not important to the story. But then by saying that, it makes you question the original story.
I've never thought about that before.
Yeah. You've never thought of where does Snape's wife live?
No, I mean, like, I was aware that she said that she had always considered the Albus Dumbledore character to be a homosexual. I had never considered that, like, these other characters just never had spouses or families, and, like, a majority of the adult characters in the story don't have spouses. Maybe that's a reflection of the fact that she doesn't have a spouse, or at least didn't when she started it. I don't know what she's doing with her life now.
And maybe, like, the other thing that did throw me off, too, is if you go back to the second book, when Harry Potter gets his arm smashed in the Quidditch match, and the new professor, I can't remember his name.
Lockhart.
Yeah. Takes the bones out of his arm, he has to grow them back. And Dumbledore comes and sees him in the infirmary. Mm-hmm. He, like, makes, like, a suggestive comment towards Madame Pomfrey.
Does he?
He says something, and it says that Madame Pomfrey went off blushing.
Well, that's not necessarily.
And I was like,
suggested.
What? All right. I bet he's okay. And then to me, it made sense because I was like, oh, all these teachers are hooking up with each other. But no, they weren't.
Yeah, okay. That's just your interpretation of it, though. Yeah. I don't think that actually has any bearing on the thing.
No.
I don't think that's a totally different scenario. That's an author who wrote a book exposing what she had considered to be important backstory to a character while she was writing that character.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally different from, like, making a spin-off series or direct sequel or prequel about that character that then cheapens that character and makes the character less interesting.
This is why I said it's a small-scale example.
Okay, that's
fine.
But it is.
And so I'm worried that there's going to be, you know, like the book, the, you know, spin-off of Han Solo, and he'll ruin it for me.
It's certainly probable or maybe even likely that that will happen, but I don't think we have to assume that that's the only possible thing that can
happen. That's true. Maybe we should call him up and say, hey, guys, get us on the case. We can do a better job than you're probably going to.
Have you seen the Whitest Kids You Know sketch about George Lucas?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to link to that in the show notes. Everyone should go watch that.
Yep.
All right, so Star Wars may be getting worse.
It may be. It's no Hurricane Sandy.
Really, at this point, you can't expect very much out of it. So it's not like it actually can get worse from where it is right now.
True.
We've all dismissed it. The original trilogy was great. New one sucks. Anything new they make is probably going to suck. so we can only go up from here. I'm going to cut that burp out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a flat line. Maybe it can go up.
Nah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, $4 billion, that's pretty intense, though.
Yeah, nice. less than what they bought Pixar for. I put dick quotes around bought there. Pixar was like $7.5 billion, mm-hmm, or something, which is interesting because it's like it was way younger when it was purchased, and you know, anything with Star Wars on it is going to sell incredibly well, whereas things won't necessarily sell well just because they have Pixar on them.
Yeah, but Pixar, like you said, Lucasfilms hasn't necessarily been doing a ton of great work. Pixar have been doing a ton of great work when they bought them. True. So there's potential.
That's true. It makes an interesting reference to the documentary The People versus George Lucas. That was described to me. The People versus George Lucas is the documentary. Links to it in the show notes, of course. It was described to me as being a documentary for people who understood the title. So if you don't understand why The People versus George Lucas is something that is interesting, it's definitely not something that you want to watch. And I think that's true, because it's interesting to me because I understood it. But if you don't already understand it, it's something that you just will not have patience or enough energy to care about.
I apparently do not have patience or energy to care.
Well, do you not understand it, what The People versus George Lucas kind of implies?
That people are against him?
Yeah, okay. If you can't see the reason why people would be mad
at him. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was maybe more complex than I was letting it be.
Yeah, it's more about why people are upset that he won't release the original trilogy without edits, because you can't buy them in kind of current day formats.
Yeah.
And you really, if you wanted to go into a store and buy a new copy, you couldn't buy a new copy of the original movies without edits. You can only buy the enhanced with CG and extra scenes added and content changed. And the content that changes it also changes the story and the meaning of a lot of the scenes. Not super important, really.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What else we got on the dock here, Will?
Well, we are recording this a day early, but we are releasing it on Halloween.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, do you have an idea for a Halloween costume? Are you going to go? Are you going out to do some fun stuff on Halloween? Maybe trick-or-treating, perhaps?
You know, I'm probably not.
Okay.
There's a costume contest over at 7 Elephants Coffee Shop. Okay.
For a coffee shop. At 5 o'clock.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of pretty
early.
Yeah, and I'm probably not going to go over to it, because like the prize is like a Nook color.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be cool, and I'm sure I could give it to somebody as like a gift. But the only costume, my go-to costume every year, is a lumberjack.
Yeah, that's not really a costume for you.
Yep, I put on the exact same clothes I wear every day. The difference being that I tuck my shirt in and I wear suspenders.
Okay.
And that's about it. Still wear the same stocking hat I wear every day and the same flannel shirt I wear every day. Same jeans and the same boots.
Same beard, too.
Yep, it's pretty bad. It's a pretty bad costume, I'm not going to lie.
Yep. How about you? I had a Halloween party to go to on Saturday,
uh-huh,
and while I was at a friend's apartment when we planned to go to this party, and we were scrambling to make a costume out of the random assortment of things in his apartment.
Oh, okay. That's always a good way to make costumes.
I made a costume by taking the string out of one of those kind of crappy basketball bags that everyone uses, and they give out, like when you go on a college tour, they give out this.
Those are called spike bags.
Are they called spike bags?
Therefore, originally invented for track shoes.
To put your spikes in them.
Yep.
Right, and then
your tennies in them while you're racing.
Yep, and you could really probably spray it out with a hose to clean out the dirt, but it's like, and it's just this cheap, crappy bag that's not disposable, but you don't really care if it gets ruined.
Yep, and they're super lightweight, so when you're running, you can wear them easily.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had a bag like that. I took the string out of it, and then I tied the string around my neck. And on the string, I put one of those hand exercisers you use for strengthening your hand. You know, you squeeze in it.
Yep.
And next to that, my friend had a stack of keys in his apartment, and I tied that onto the string as well. And I went as a key grip.
Shut up, you turd. What? You turd.
It was a great costume.
I'm a key grip.
Nobody guessed it, obviously.
Of course not, because no, everyone said, what are you, a exercising hand man?
No. But like 1 in 5 or 6 people, when I would tell them I'm a key grip, they would laugh hysterically.
Yeah, yeah.
So I consider it to be a success.
That would get
not
you a laugh.
Not in the quantity of laughs, but in the quality of
That's true. I saw a costume that was one of my favorites. It might be an old one. Someone might have already seen it. They had a t-shirt that they'd screen printed that said ceiling. Like, it looked like a sports shirt that said ceiling. It had, like, sweatbands and pom-poms. And they were like, yeah! And I was like, oh, you're a ceiling fan. That's pretty neat.
That's all right.
It's a pretty old. And then I didn't see this one in person. Someone I saw on Facebook had a picture of it. But it was a married couple, and they went as boobs. That fits together really nice. And they had, like, the shirt, so it looked like this one shirt with cleavage coming out of it. It looked very good. Right. It was done. It was constructed very well.
So I think there's one party that I remember going to, and it had two of my favorite sets of costumes. This is very self-aggrandizing, because one of my favorite sets of costumes was when my brother and I went as conjoined twins. And we got size like 40 XL pants and shirts, and we had our moms stitch them together, so we had like one leg in the middle, and then I was on the left and he was on the right, and we walked around. And throughout the night, when one of us had to go to the bathroom, we could like close ourselves in the door, so like I would be like hanging out outside of the door, and it would be like, and then throughout the night we were also switching sides, and people like weren't really noticing because we kind of look similar.
Yep.
Which was fantastic. The second best group costume there, or maybe even better than ours, but the other good one was, this was around the time the movie Juno came out.
Oh yeah.
And these two people dressed up like the characters in Juno, but really they were just wearing like red track outfits, and the girl was had like a fake pregnant belly, but it looked really real, and she was drinking alcohol during the event, and it was like kind of taboo, and like, whoa, like that's not allowed. But then we're like, ah, it's a costume. Like it was the only costume that really tricked me
into thinking that she was a terrible mother.
Yeah. It was very, very funny.
That's good. I would have to say that my favorite costume that I ever wore was in the third grade. I was went as a Shriner.
Ooh.
And I'd gone to the Shrine Circus earlier that year.
The world's creepiest people.
Oh, yeah. And I'd bought one of those like creepy little Shriner hats. And
a fez?
I'd bought a fez. And then I got home and I was like, I want to be a Shriner for Halloween. And mom, you should save this hat for me and keep it safe. Then Halloween came, and my mom made me like the full like old man creepy yellow vest, and then like this like complete thing that went around me. It looked like I was selling concessions at the circus, and it was a huge hit. And also, I could put my candy right in my concession stand. I would say another good costume I saw was one of my good friends went as Donald Trump. Right as the show, what's that show that he has when that came out?
The Apprentice?
You Fired show, yeah. And we were probably in like the fifth grade. So seeing this kid walk around, and like he didn't look like Donald Trump at all. So everyone was like, oh, you're a businessman. And he'd just look at him and go, you fired! And like we thought it was really funny, but it's probably just like super lame and cute.
Hated it.
Everyone's like, ah, they're young, it's cute. But yeah, that was the year that he hit my gram over the head with his suitcase.
Hey, this story is very... I don't think we... Do we need to tell that story?
I mean, maybe it's... I don't know. It's not as violent as he says it is. He didn't... My grandma was in costume, and she was scaring us about through the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And kept kind of taunting us all night. We didn't know who she was. And so she kind of backed me into this corner, and then we ran to my house. And my dad knew who it was, so he, like, locked me out of the house but let all my friends in. And so all my other friends were like, screw Tom, they ran downstairs. But my good friend Joe, who to this day is one of my best friends, ran out the back door of my house and came around, like, the side and, like, was winding up with his briefcase. And right as he, like, smacked my grandma in the head, she was, like, trying to pull her mask off. And, like, right as he hit her, she, like, pulled the mask off. And we, like, saw my grandma's gray hair, like, fly out of the mask. And he got super embarrassed and felt really bad.
Okay.
But, I mean, it kind of serves her right. Let's be honest.
Yeah, you know, violence against the elderly. Totally acceptable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs them?
All right. Well, this seems like a pretty natural transition into the commercial we're going to talk about this week. Which is, of course, a Halloween-themed commercial for Snickers.
Ooh.
Ooh. Hello, Mrs. Jensen. You don't have any Snickers in your shopping cart. The neighborhood kids love Snickers on Halloween. Let me help you. I'm only helping. Snickers.
We're definitely going to her house.
Shh. This Halloween, nothing satisfies like Snickers.
The premise of this commercial seems super obvious, right? You know, it's like the kids tricking the lady into buying Snickers so that they can go to her house and get the Snickers for Halloween. And obviously it doesn't make any sense because if the kids are this resourceful, they could just find a way to make money to buy Snickers or go steal the Snickers.
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to think about this commercial that much.
That's something that I find sort of funny about Halloween is because the advertising like window for advertising for Halloween and even for Thanksgiving is such a short window. Yeah. The ads seem a lot and the commercials seem a lot less thoughtful than when Christmas time comes around and some of the bigger seasons.
Okay. Yeah. Christmas where
they run
makes
those
sense
ads longer. Yeah. Or like really, full campaigns, you know?
Okay.
Because nobody runs a Halloween commercial more than like for 2 weeks.
Yeah. That makes sense. I'm impressed by how quiet this commercial is. Snickers commercials have been very loud and aggressive and angry for a long time, long before this commercial, which came out a few years ago. You know, lots of action, lots of things happening. Their whole slogan is about satisfaction. There's people doing crazy things, or they're like making lots and lots of jokes. And this commercial takes like the entire time to set up the punchline, even though you can see it from the beginning. I think they do a good job of that, of setting up a punchline, taking their time about it, and then they kind of deliver it. It's maybe a little on the nose, a little too expected. But you can't really fault them for having what is kind of an obvious commercial, or the punchline of their joke is very obvious.
And even, I mean, maybe the one thing that got me too is I didn't think the joke necessarily was that funny, but I mean, it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give them that, which Snickers doesn't do a good job of.
Snickers has never been marketed towards the cute factor.
No,
it's always more of a manly, aggressive.
Yeah, and product. I think that spoke well to, you know, people buying candy because they're thinking of kids. And like when that little kid pops his head out of
the kid that's on the bottom of the two guys, the two kids
sticks his head out. That's always kind of funny. That's a gimmick that is tried so often in kids' movies, but would in actuality be so incredibly hard to pull off.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like, because
that's not ever been a real thing, obviously.
Yeah. But like the one thing that always irritated me as a kid is like how that kid pokes his head out and he has someone on his shoulders. Like, you can't poke your head out when you have someone on your shoulders without their knees coming
unless
first.
Unless you have the longest neck in the world.
Yeah. And that always irritated me as a kid. In Little Rascals, they do it. And it's after that, I was like, that's not possible.
And it happens in a lot more
kids' movies. Little Rascals. I can't trust these things.
Of course.
Gotcha.
If you're looking for good scams to pull as a child, Tom Sawyer's your only value.
No. I told you, the Great Brain.
Okay, the Great Brain too. Lots of scams you can pull as a kid.
Lots of scams. Lots of legitimate scams.
I think the punchline would have been a lot funnier if the cart was entirely full of bags of Snickers. At the end, the woman only had like she runs away from this you know, fake old lady. She only has like 4 bags of Snickers in her cart, and I think the punchline would be emphasized a little bit by drawing that out.
I guess
that's not super important. But
I did
kind of
think it was funny how like when they start grabbing the Snickers, like this old woman looks really tall and big, but then when she starts grabbing Snickers, she still has the hands of like a little kid. So she can only grab like one bag at a time. And it's like this really pathetic like attempt. And so I guess I found that to be pretty funny.
Yeah. I think they also tread a nice line between funny and creepy.
Yeah.
Because it's like this old woman mask. It's this rubber mask. And you can see the eyes of the child behind it. And then you can see his mouth moving inside the mask. But the mouth of the mask obviously doesn't move. He just kind of moves the mask around. And it's nice and like, ooh, that's kind of a gross thing. But it's not really like scary. Which obviously adds to that cuteness factor that you were talking about earlier.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Overall, I would say, since maybe this is close-minded to me, but I would say that even today, most people buying the candy in a household are usually the females, the moms, the wives usually buy that, the Halloween candy. They're usually the ones that get more excited about the aspect of handing out candy, from my knowledge, my experiences. And so I think this ad targets those people really well, and it's something that Snickers has struggled with targeting that audience beforehand.
Yeah, that's fair.
And certainly, so I would say it's a pretty successful ad.
Certainly it has a lot of things that are a movement away from the existing aggressive masculine ads of Snickers. My experience has always been it's either children or... generally, it's children or women handing out candy on Halloween as well. Granted, I haven't trick-or-treated in many years, so I could be totally wrong about this.
Yeah, this is true. I trick-or-treated a year ago, so...
Yeah, but you probably didn't get any good candy, did you?
Just kidding.
You don't get good candy if you don't have a kid with you and you're, like, taller than
4. I'm kidding. I did not go trick-or-treating a year ago. God.
I definitely think I pushed it too long. I don't remember when I stopped trick-or-treating, but
I did too.
Much older than I should have been.
We had a really great thing in my high school where for one of our student clubs, we would raise money for UNICEF on Halloween. So we'd still dress up and we'd go to in like groups and we'd go to houses and be like, hey, we're trick-or-treating for UNICEF. Do you have any spare change? And like the idea was that they'd give us a bunch of spare change. We'd raise like, you know, a couple $1,000 in the night. It was really cool. Wow. But the awesome part about it was like you were already there. So while like they were going to get changed, they'd like throw you like some candy, but nice. you never want to have a bag of candy to like hold.
You
out.
Can't have a bag of candy. That's part of it.
So like you'd have to like eat it as you got it, and it was so hard to do. It was like disgusting.
You are living the American dream, sir.
Oh, it was awful. It was like this is why my mom never let me do this as a kid. Oh, but yeah, that's why I was able to kind of extend my stay in a trick or treating.
Speaking of things that you should not do. Have you gotten your free Dorito Locos taco?
I have not.
Okay. Are you familiar with this
free I am not.
Doritos Locos? Okay. Are you familiar with the Doritos Locos
taco?
Yes, I am.
I have not gone to Taco Bell since I saw one of those in real life.
In real life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. When did you see one in real life?
I went to a Taco Bell with my friend and he ordered one. Okay. And I was like, why would you ever order that?
Yeah.
And he pulled it out, and I was like, that looks like the most horrendous fast food item I have ever seen, including gas station food.
What about the double down?
The double down. What's the double down?
The double down was KFC's sandwich that instead of bread, it had pieces of fried chicken.
Oh! I never saw one of those in real life.
Fried chicken, and in between it was two pieces of cheese and two pieces of bacon and probably some like mayo-based sauce.
That's disgusting.
So the World Series has been going on, or had been going on recently.
Wait. There's a World Series this year?
Yeah.
Who's playing in it?
Well, nobody's playing it anymore because the San Francisco Giants already won it.
Who did they play?
Cardinals, I think. I watched all four games of the World Series, and I really honestly just don't remember.
See, I'm going to say something about the World Series that... Is a funny observation to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain teams that the only people that care about those teams are the people that live in that city.
Yep.
So when the World Series happens, nobody cares. Like, as soon as the Yankees stopped playing, I stopped hearing about Major League Baseball in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And not that anyone likes Yankees in Minnesota, But, like, we care about the outcome. And so as soon as the Yankees lost, we're like, well, it's the Giants and the Cardinals. Well,
baseball's done for the year.
I guess football's still around.
I wonder who else would have been a team other than the Yankees. What is a team that would have been interesting but was not obviously the Twins from Minnesota?
I think the Red Sox. They're a big-name team. They excite people.
They can't play in the series against the Yankees, can they?
Aren't nope, they could have played in the... But I'm saying if it hadn't been the...
It hadn't been the Yankees, but the Red Sox had been in it.
I guess, I mean, the Cardinals are kind of a big team for the National League, but...
I would think the Giants would be kind of big, too, now that they've won two World Series in 2-3 years? 3 years now?
Yeah. Giants are, but not so much. Once you get far enough north, though, there's too many people that, you know, if you're not a Twins fan, you're probably another, you know, a Yankees fan.
Yeah. It wasn't a specifically interesting World Series because the Giants won the first four games of it.
Yeah.
And the first three games, they won very handily. There was just no competition. But Taco Bell was running this campaign where they would, I mean, they ran the commercials for a long time saying, if someone steals a base in the World Series, we're giving out a free taco. And then some Giants player stole second base. And so now it's, you know, every single commercial break, they would run a 15-second ad saying, hey, you know, so-and-so stole a base, so now everyone gets a free taco. For some reason, I did not go get my free Doritos Loco Taco.
There's something that's really interesting to me about the idea of Doritos, like, setting up shop inside of Taco Bell's menu. It's happening at Burger King's doing it with Cinnabon right now.
That's way, way weirder.
Yeah, and you can get a Cinnabon, like, while you're at Burger King. And I'm like, because Cinnabon wasn't bad enough in an airport, so now we're going to serve it at a fast food restaurant? Like, and I'm wondering, who's paying who for this?
Yeah, well...
You know, like, who's...
Pepsi and Fritos, and, which is, like, one gigantic-ass conglomeration, is the owner of Taco Bell, or whatever company owns them. So probably, like, six layers of abstraction between them, but... Pepsi essentially owns Taco Bell.
That.
So it's not like, you know, one of the companies is getting a kickback in the other one. It's just straight like one company owns a subsidiary and is forcing some of their product into it. The target audience is basically the same, so it makes sense.
Yep.
I
would argue that the target audience for Cinnabon and Burger King is pretty similar too.
Yeah, well, all fast food, the target audience is probably the same. But, like, if you want to get hyper-specific, the target audience for Taco Bell and Doritos is probably the exact same people.
Yeah.
I would say, having eaten one or maybe two Doritos tacos in my life, they would be a lot better if they weren't so salty. They're very salty. It's a very salty taco.
Because that's how all Doritos are.
Yeah, but it's, like, extra salty because the Dorito is extra flat and, like, it seemed like it had more of the Doritos powder on it.
Yuck. Yuck. I hate Doritos so much. I eat almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you like potato chips?
I don't like them, but I literally could just eat on them, munch on them all day.
Okay.
Anything. I can pretty much eat anything. The two things that I cannot do are black olives... and any kind of Dorito chip.
Yeah. Oh, Do you ever have the Doritos 3D?
Yeah. Disc.
I liked those quite a bit. Those
I did not. They were like airy.
And yeah.
Like oh.
And they came in a plastic can.
Yeah.
And then quite a few years after they stopped selling Doritos 3D, they being, you know, Frito-Lay company or whoever owns Doritos, I actually don't know.
Yeah.
Some other company started selling this Gamer Fuel. And that's the wrong name because Gamer Fuel is a Pepsi product. It's a Mountain Dew flavor that was a tie-in to the Halo franchise when Halo 3 was coming out. But it was some like random small group made this snack food that came in a plastic can that you could eat by like dumping the can into your mouth.
Because it's so too that much
you wouldn't
work
get your
eat.
Fingers dirty so you could keep holding your controller while you played video games.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I never had them. I never even saw them. So yeah. I bet it was terrible and just did not last long enough to be successful.
There were some Dorito chips that I could kind of choke down. They were the Salsa Verde.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were not terrible. I would never purchase them on my own accord, though.
They had for a long time. Maybe they still run this, too. I haven't been shopping for junk food for a long time. But they had for a long time a line of Doritos that were late night. I think they were just like the late night Doritos.
When you're too tired to realize how terrible they taste.
They had more interesting flavors. They were not the Mountain Dew flavored Doritos, which were horrendous. But they had flavors.
Mountain Dew flavored Doritos?
We'll get into that story in a bit. I want to say that it was late night. It was after midnight was the line of chips, or like the entire line. Yeah. Had a bunch of different flavors. And then one of those flavors was late night tacos. Or maybe it was late night Doritos. And then one of the flavors was tacos after midnight or something. Whatever the case, the name of this specific flavor of chip was like late night after midnight tacos. I was like, this is the most redundant, terrible thing. And they were probably better than any of the other existing Doritos flavors. Still not great.
Yeah.
When I worked in a grocery store when I was in high school, and we had there was a flavor of Doritos that was being sold that was mystery flavor. And the idea was that, like, you had to try to figure it out online, and you could, like, maybe win some prizes if you entered correctly in the form or whatever. And they kind of tasted, they were greenish, and they tasted a little weird. The Pepsi distributor who was filling our shelves once said, you should try eating some of those chips and then drinking Mountain Dew, which was his way of just spilling the beans that they were Dorito-flavored Mountain, or they were Mountain Dew-flavored Doritos.
Yuck.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. They were kind of like sweet chips. They were not very good. I mean, they're obviously terrible. But you would eat them, and like it wasn't really the taste that was the same, but it was the aftertaste that kind of lingered in your mouth.
That really awesome Mountain Dew aftertaste that lingers in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yuck.
All right, I think we should probably wrap this episode up.
Yeah, I think we hit
deep into gross junk food.
We talked about gross junk food, our Halloween experiences, and the potential demise or growth of Lucasfilms.
Possibly.
But yeah, hey, at least they're right in your backyard. You can do your part, Will.
That's right. And this has been an episode of The White Horse Courier on the Verb Mill Network. You can find us online at verbmill.net or search for The White Horse Courier in iTunes. I'm Will Imholt, and you can find me on Twitter at Will Imholt.
And I'm Tom Wixo. You can find me at Tom Wixo.